The mission of Virginia's parole board is simple, stated in bold on its website, to grant parole to those offenders whose release is compatible with public safety. In fact, it's a lot more complicated than that.
The parole board considers, among other things, the offender's history, physical and mental condition, character and conduct, employment and attitude while in prison.
That's actress Katie Gary. She agreed to read written answers to our questions after Parole Board Chairman Karen Brown declined to be recorded. Brown wrote that board members meet to discuss some cases but decide many others independently. Criminal defense attorney Steve Rosenfield thinks that's a shame.
You would think that a collaborative process would help. Somebody might change somebody else's mind, either for or against a prisoner, but to hear somebody's argument about why we should or should not release somebody seems to make the most sense.
A prisoner must get 3 of the 5 votes to be released, or 4 out of 5 if the conviction was for murder and the sentence life. While inmates may speak with a single member of the board, they never get a chance to address the whole panel in person. Charles Zellers is serving a life sentence plus 40 years for murder.
We don't see the parole board. We see just the interviewer. He types it in. Then he takes it back to the board members.
No matter what they say, inmates are often told they will not be paroled because of the seriousness of their crime, a factor they cannot change. Earlier this year, more than 40 prisoners staged a protest at the Augusta Correctional Center, refusing to speak with the interviewer and explaining their frustration to counselor and clergyman Harvey Yoder.
We're not going to go through what is basically a farce to be told the same thing over and over again.
On the other hand, people who want inmates released can address the board, and so can victims of a crime. That fact may bias the outcome of a hearing, according to Kevin Reitz, a professor of law at the University of Minnesota, and a national expert on parole.
You know, and speaking with individual parole board members around the country, some of them are very candid. I remember there was one parole board member who said, look, I just have to be frank with you. If the victim is sitting right there in the room, it's very hard afterwards to say to that person, no, we're not going to give you what you want. We're going to release the person.
The prisoner is not allowed to hear the victim's statement to correct any misinformation or explain circumstances. What's more, Karen Brown writes that she and other members of the board don't have to make sure claims are true.
The hearsay rules do not apply to board considerations. We often take into consideration recommendations, comments, and concerns made by third parties.
Parole board meetings are not open to the public, and documents pertaining to parole are not subject to the Freedom of Information Act. Professor Reitz thinks that, too, is a big problem.
It's just a travesty that the proceedings are not more transparent. A lot of parole boards use risk assessment instruments, but they won't show you how that instrument was scored in a particular case. The prisoner never sees it. The prisoner can't challenge it, but the public can't see it either. And this is how the length of a prison sentence is being decided.
The bottom line, he adds, is that parole board members are only answerable to the man who appointed them, and some sizable salaries are at stake. I'm Sandy Houseman.